to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another 31 and 30 Puck Guys Podcast. I'm alongside Eddie and Jason. What's going on, guys?
What up?
See, this is where Howdy would make sense, because we're talking about the Dallas Stars. It would just would have made
sense. I don't do anything that makes sense. I'm barely here.
That's true. He's barely here. Barely. It's very close. He almost didn't make it.
Yeah, and I refuse to give Dallas any sort of yeehaw or whatever they want.
How dare you, sir?
Shut up.
You know you like Cowboys like everybody else.
Just the tight jean pants, that's all.
That's it, man. And then you got to play volleyball, right? And jeans like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I wonder if only that took place in Texas. It'd bring this whole conversation.
You want to add that to the Patreon? Playing volleyball?
Volleyball? Shirtless volleyball?
Oh, Jesus Christ. They'd pay us not to.
Yeah, right?
Brutal. So the Dallas Stars is what we're talking about today. Not shirtless volleyball and jeans. The Stars finished last season 42-32-8 for 92 points, just a handful of points away from making the playoffs. The Stars didn't do a whole lot when it comes to roster turnover, at least not with big-name players. I mean, the big names that kind of stand out to me is they brought in Anton Khudobin, who I think is a very good backup because they desperately need that. I feel like in Dallas, they need somebody to help them in the crease. Other than that, they didn't really have anyone else of note brought in to help this team out, which could be problematic considering the rest of the Central Division has kind of stacked up. Eddie, how do you feel about the Stars heading into the season?
I don't think they really had to do much, because up until March they were a really good team, and then they just imploded for some reason. I'm not sure what happened to them, but nothing went right for them. They
Ben Bishop.
It was a big mix of things. They lost a majority of their games, but you know, they've got two elite players in Sagan and Ben, so that's always a plus when you've got like those two guys you can roll out, especially in a line with Alexander Radulov, who's going to be, again, we've said this with a lot of the lines already, but this is going to be one of the best lines in hockey when you've got two elite players like that and a guy like Radulov who can hit 60 points when he's playing with them. You know, the question after that comes to depth a bit. I think Spezza, under a new coach, under a new system, has a rebound year. He's not a guy who scores only, you know, 26 points. He's a guy, three seasons prior to this, he had 60 points, 60 points, and 50 points. So I would assume he would get somewhere back up close to that, especially if he gets some power play time on the second unit, gets to play with some line mates that can actually help him out. Looks like maybe Janmark and Nichushkin, now that Valeri Nichushkin is back in Dallas. You know, they don't have the best depth after that. It kind of drops up off a bit. Radulov Fax is a pretty good forward, but they've got some young guys that could maybe get in the mix. The real question for me comes on defense, because I think they could have a surprisingly good defense with a lot of young guys. It reminds me a bit of what the Ducks have been able to do in drafting well on the blue line, and it's finally paying off. The top pairing of Esa Lindell and John Klingberg is going to be excellent. John Klingberg is the cog for them on that blue line. He had a great season last year, and maybe if they didn't implode in March, he would have been up for the Norris Trophy, because I think up until that point, he was the favorite. And then you look at having Mathot and Johns is a really good shutdown pairing on the second unit. And then maybe Miro Heiskanen finally makes the jump up to the NHL after being one of the best defensemen in Finland last year, and maybe plays with Julius Honka. So there's a lot of good things going. Ben Bishop hoping to rebound in net. So I think they're going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem Dallas had in making the playoffs wasn't necessarily the ability of its players, but their head coach. They tried to go back to the well, Jim Neal. Kudos for trying, I guess. But they bring him in, and he brings a defensive style, and that showed in what they were able to do defensively. Seventh best defense, fourth most shot suppressive team in the NHL. But it came at a cost, and that cost was mostly that offense. Now Ben and Sagan and Radulov all hit in the 70s. How much higher could they have gone beyond that? Anyone can say. But then you have Klingberg in there as far as their top defensive, and then it drops off. So Klingberg, 67 points. Next closest person is Janmark, 34. I mean, half of what the next player was. So a ton of your points are tied up in those four players just because they have overwhelming skill and great opportunity. Jason Spezza had a dismal year, and he butted heads notoriously with Ken Hitchcock, and he saw a dip of 3 minutes per night per game in his playing time. And he's not going to do much if that's the way the game was going to be played. So I'm more optimistic about how this team is going to rebound, and not necessarily that they needed to change much in their lineup or their personnel. They will need depth scoring a lot better, but the new coach coming in, Montgomery, is preaching a puck possession game and an increased pressure through all zones. And what that
aren't
basically
they all
means
saying
is
that nowadays
they are. But the way that they kind of said that was at least the way it was reported is that there was pressure. There was always kind of pressure there and layers there, someone backing up that guy. But there wasn't immediate pressure. There wasn't getting on the guy before he has time to think about what he wants to do. And this team has the skill and the speed, I think, to accomplish that. And that wasn't what they did last year. I mean, they had the most icings in every league. So, I mean, it was something where they just got it. If they saw any sort of, resistance to defensemen coming out, they'd send it and ice it, or they wouldn't get to the red line. They would just try and chip plays, make it out, and that's not going to work with this team. This team needs to thrive on transition, forcing turnovers, and really kind of letting all their players and all that skill set try and kind of show itself. So I imagine much better things. They were still, even with all of that going on and a horrible end to the season, they were still only 3 points out of a playoff spot. So I don't feel that they're all that far away. They needed to do too much. I think a new coach, although this is the third one in 3 years, I think this one is probably going to be a lot better suited for the Dallas team as they sit now.
I just have a problem with what's in net. I don't really think Ben Bishop's a great goaltender anymore. He had some good numbers just a few years back, but I mean, you're talking about a 916, a 911, and a with the Kings in Tampa Bay. He had with the Kings at a 900. You can't really count that at seven games. Tampa at 926. But this guy's not, to me, an upper echelon elite goaltender. I think he's an okay goalie when he's not hurt, right? I mean, I feel like he does get hurt often, so they're going to have to worry about him in net. And then I also feel like they need to get more out of their stars. I feel like Sagan just got a $9.5 million contract. I think that's worth more than upper 70s in points. And same with Jamie Benn. They need to be putting the puck in the back of the net more often, I feel like, on this team. And that's going to be the one that carries them across, right? I mean, Ben's been the leader on this team for several seasons now. So I think that the Stars are going to look to their leaders here and require more of them. And I kind of feel like the move to bring in Montgomery as coach is probably to develop the younger players, right? I mean, if they're talking about bringing Miro Heiskanen in, I mean, this guy's a stud. He's rated, I think, did you say, the best defenseman probably coming out of Finland, right?
Yeah, he's probably the best defenseman not in the NHL right now, if you don't include Rasmus Dahlin.
Well, he was being talked about in the same conversation as, like, I forgot the third defenseman they had in the conversation I was reading about, but it was Dahlin and Heiskanen were mentioned in the same grouping of the three. So this kid's a stud too, along with Klingberg. And I mean, Klingberg's a stud. He had 67 points last season. So it just comes back to, I mean, shoot, what we've been talking about the last couple of podcasts, they're goaltending on these teams. You can have the best forwards in the world, but if your guys can't stop the puck, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, listen, I think they have a better goaltending situation than St. Louis does. I think Ben Bishop, he's had two not
really
great seasons. Last year was not an awful season for Ben Bishop. His numbers weren't horrible. 916 save percentage is not great. It's not bad. His career average is 919, and his goals against average for his career is 235. If he puts up just his regular career numbers, that's a pretty good season, and I think that contributes to a couple more wins for this team. I think it's better. I mean, Bishop and Hudobin is better than Allen and Johnson. Bishop's better than Allen. Hudobin's better than Johnson. I think that's, they've got an advantage there. Where I think they miss out on is the forward group. You know, they have the better line with Ben, Sagan, and Radulov, and then it drops off from there. Second line, you could say Spets and Etruskin and Janmark. That's a stretch. It's a pretty decent second line. It's not great. And then after that, you don't really have anything. We don't really know what they have. They don't have a guy like Alex Steen, like St. Louis does, on their third line. They've got Pitlick, Como, and Faxa. And then they've got Brett Ritchie, Shore, and any number of some of the guys they brought in, or some of their young guys to fill in there. On defense, it'll be interesting because, you know, Klingberg, we know he's a 60-point defenseman. He should do that. Heiskanen maybe gets paired with him. Esselin, Dell, and Honka, I think, are underrated. But it's for me, the issue with this team is forward depth. It's not goaltending. I think Ben Bishop is a good enough goaltender to get them to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd agree, too. I like Ben Bishop, you know, for maybe what he doesn't lack necessarily as a polished goalie, he can make up for with his size. And sometimes that's able to kind of help out a little bit. I know that's not anything you're going to hang your hat on as to, oh, wow, that's one thing. But it's kind of one of those little X factors that he has over other goalies is literally his size. He's a guy who wants to win. He's from Dallas itself, or at least from Texas. So it's someone who's determined to play, wants to win in here. I think this team is going, I think if this team starts to actually produce some of that offense and keep that puck possession game going, it's going to be a little bit easier on him. Hopefully not as much of the injuries that he's kind of sustained through, you know, portions of his career. But I think he's a very capable goalie. I think he can get hot and be one of those goalies that you see when they get into the playoffs that all of a sudden they just become lights out. I think he's very good in the playoffs. They just got to get there. If they can get to the playoffs, I think he can work wonders. He's very good in the playoffs at not losing back-to-back games, usually posting shutouts. If he loses one, comes back with a shutout. Did that a lot in Tampa Bay. Dallas team is a little bit different, but he has that potential. So I think this is a goalie that you can trust when you get into the playoffs. He's just the team got to be better all around.
So let's talk about the Stars a little bit when it comes to the question marks on this this season. So is Radulov really going to be able to sustain what he's been doing, putting up 70 points? Is that something you guys could see him kind of falling off on? That's always been a question about him, whether he's going to be able to maintain play in the city he's been around. So far, so good. But do you think that's going to continue? We just talked about the shortness of scoring beyond this line. How do you guys feel about him?
Why not? I mean, look who he's playing with. There should not be a reason why he should slump at all. I mean, 70 points is a lot for anybody, and you know, his career highs before this were in the 50s, but when you get to play with two players like that, not only 5-on-5, but he's on the top power play unit, he's going to be given every opportunity to put the puck in the back of the net and set up guys like Ben and Sagan. You know, if he doesn't hit 70, he's going to hit at least 60. You're playing, you know, he is a skilled player. He's a guy who, with maybe lesser opponents, or lesser line mates, sorry, is probably putting up 50-55 on a regular basis. So when you put him with elite guys like this, it's no question to say that he can be a 60-70 point guy.
Yeah, exactly. If he's on a line there with Ben and Sagan, and those guys are obviously going to be world-class players to play with, you know, not even that Radulov isn't, you know, world-class, or, you know, at least a very, very capable goal scorer, as we saw this year. 27 goals is good, 45 assists. I mean, if he's not putting it in, he's going to be setting up one of these more elite goal scorers. So I can't see much of a drop off unless, you know, he just has an off season or something. But the talent was there last year. It was kind of something that everyone was looking at to see how he was going to perform once he played in Montreal, signed the big contract with Dallas. Everyone was kind of like, all right, let's make sure this wasn't a fluke in Montreal. Show us what you got. And he proved it. And he's got really good line mates that can make almost anyone look pretty good too.
All right. Now the question moves on to John Klingberg. He was pretty much up for the Norris Trophy, and they almost had it in the bag until the team imploded, right? I mean, is this going to be a bounce-back resurgence type of season for him? You think that he's going to be good enough to catch the Norris?
That's tough because I don't really think he has to have a bounce-back season. I mean, 67 points in 82 games is good. It's just
wasn't good enough last year.
No, it wasn't, and that's tough. I mean, you're always going to have guys up there who put around that many points. I think he still deserved to be in the conversation. Obviously, that didn't happen, but this is an elite offensive defenseman. I think he's very underrated for the point totals he's put up. I mean, he put up 40 points in his rookie season, then jumped up to 58, had to slump down to 49, and then bumped back up to 67 last year. I mean, this is a guy who should be in the discussion. If they have a full season and are a very good team, he's going to be a big part of that. Just like Jason mentioned earlier, the fact that, you know, him, Radulov, Sagan, and Ben had an enormous amount of the point share last year for this team. He'll be up there again, and I think if they can be consistently good all year, there's no question that he should be up there for having a chance to win it. He'll be an underrated guy for sure when you're going against Carlson and Burns, who are both going to be in San Jose, and then you go up against Victor Hedman, Drew Doughty, PK Subban. Those are all more household names than John Klingberg, but really, I mean, he's an underrated guy who deserves a little bit more consideration because he's not just a great offensive defenseman. He puts up the numbers, too. I mean, he's one of the best puck possession guys in the game as well.
Yeah, and I think maybe last year he might have even been elevated into much closer into that Norris talk if it wasn't for a 3.9 shooting percentage. The dude rattled off over 200 shots from the defensive side of things. That's forward shot totals there. And high forward shot totals for the most part. But to click it at only 4%, only put in 8 goals, that's a career low for him, even going back to his rookie season. You can't think that that's going to be something that sticks too much. I feel that there'll probably be a bounce back in that department. If you start seeing more goals, people kind of take a little bit more notice in that. But 59 assists from a defenseman is absolutely stellar numbers. You couldn't really hope for much more than that. He also has an amazing career faceoff percentage of 100%.
Oh, Jesus.
There's your fun stat.
What did he say? One right. Faceoff?
Probably. He didn't even do it last year. One. He did one in his 4-year career, so I'm assuming he won it.
Well, there's the stat of the day. Yep. So where are they finishing, boys? I got them not quite being as competitive, but still in the mix. I've been fourth.
Yeah, I've got them in fourth, and I mean, I think they'll flop back and forth with St. Louis. I mean, there's a lot of ifs and buts for both of these teams. For St. Louis, it's goaltending, and if Jake Allen plays out of his mind, that's a team that could finish top in the division. I think Dallas might be in the same spot, but the question for them comes in secondary scoring. So if they can get some help off that first line, if maybe Spezza can jump back up or the third and fourth line can contribute, this is a team that could jump up into the discussion to win the division as well, but I've got them finishing fourth just because there's too many questions.
Yeah, and I agree with Eddie as far as that flopping back and forth between St. Louis. I think those two will kind of battle out those third and fourth positions. I'm more excited or optimistic about the new coach coming in. I don't know if just even Kent Hitchcock leaving it will be enough to just kind of raise the spirits.
The planet.
Yeah, exactly. The planet's moved on. The players are now out of his orbit. So there's a chance that just that feeling of, okay, we're in a new direction with a guy who understands more of how Dallas should be playing with the talent and the skill that they have. So I have them actually finishing third. Like I said, this could be a coin flip with St. Louis. I think, once again, it comes maybe down a little bit more to goaltending because Allen doesn't have that safety net in St. Louis. And so if you don't necessarily have that backup safety net, you might lose a couple more games than you probably should. And I think Ben Bishop is good enough to win a couple more games than that helps propel Dallas just by mere points into a division spot.
Well, there you guys have it. That's our preview and prediction for the Dallas Stars this upcoming season for our 31-30. You know where to find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, the Puck Guys Podcast. Also, check us out on Patreon. We're making more content for you, more podcasts, doing giveaways, inviting you to be on our show to win some cool prizes. Go check us out at patreon.com/puckguysforevermighty. That's where you'll see all the tiers and be able to contribute in our polls. Send us messages. We're able to communicate with you. We have all kinds of stuff on there. Go check it out. All it's going to do is help us out on our end to take care of our platforms that we put these shows out on, and then ultimately be able to give back to you guys with cooler giveaways, more watch parties, and stuff like that. So we appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.